And I just want to dig a little bit into this idea of the miraculous and then that being part of our outreach. And I do want to tell you a story. I'm not going to tell you loads of stories, but I'm going to tell you this one story because I just love it and it's just funny, but it's kind of good as well. So this story happened, and as many of you know, I work a lot with young people, and it was with a youth group in Edinburgh. And so we were going on a treasure hunt, which is just similar to what we're going to do this afternoon at 2:30. Another plug. And it's basically what you do is you ask God for a location, a person's name, a person's appearance, what they might need prayer for, and anything unusual. So we had that. That was our treasure map. We met at Costa Coffee on George Street. Other coffee shops are available. And we went there, and we met there, and we prayed, and God gave us various things, and we wrote them down on the sheet of paper. One of the things that we had was a horse. And then we had various other things like sore knee and people with jacket, bag, different things. Anyway, we went out and we thought, well, where are we going to see a horse? You know, you do have to use kind of brain in this and kind of ask God, well, how are you speaking to us? So there's a horse statue on Princes Street. Some of you might know Princes Street. There is in fact two horse statues. So we went to the first one, but it was really difficult to get very close to it. And we thought, oh, this can't be the right place. There can't be anything going on here. So we then went to the far end of Princes Street, which is to the Duke of Wellington statue, if anyone knows where that is. And we arrived there with my little group. And the interesting thing about this is, because they're kind of all looking at me going, is this going to work? What are we doing? And I'm like, no, it's good, it's good, it's fun. It's kind of, something's going to happen. Anyway, we arrive at the statue, and there was this group of teenagers that were jumping all over the statue. And I always love that when they got a group of teenagers got a bit of energy and, you know, other people run the other way. But anyway, and then I recognized one of them. And I said, oh, hi, how you doing? And so he came over and his whole group come over and we have a chat. And we're thinking, man, this must be the encounter. So I get out our thing and we just show it to him. We say, look, we've got on a treasure hunt and we've come to this place and we're looking for treasure. And we found you guys. I know you. And we're now just thinking, what is it that God might want to do? And look, we've got sore knee. So let's ask that. Has any of you got a sore knee? And one of the guys, real scared, tough guy. And he says to me, yeah, I've got a sore knee. Well, in fact, he doesn't say it. The rest of them go, you've got a bad knee. You've got wrecked ligaments and you can't play football at the moment. And you're hating it because you can't play football. And we're like, oh. So I was like, so I said to the guys, come on, pray your best prayer. Where the teenagers are kind of like, they're kind of like, what am I to do? And you just go, well, just pray your best prayer, guys. That's all you can do. We'll just pray our best prayer. Say, God, heal it. And then I said, couple of you, lay hands on the knee. So we laid hands on, did our best prayer, and then and then said, how is it? Is it better? And they went, nah, it's not changed. And we're like, oh, okay. Well, let's pray a blessing on you. So we prayed a blessing on him. And they were like, well, that was good. And the young people walked away, my young people walked away going, that was good, that was good. We met a group, we prayed for them, and that was brilliant. So we didn't think any more of it. And then the next week, I met this young lad, the one that I knew. And he's quite a lively lad. And he says to me, you will not believe what happened. And I was like, no, I probably couldn't in your world, because I can tell you his world was pretty much out there. And he says, no, after we saw you, we went to the St. James's Centre. Now, that shows how old this story is, but anyway, that's when it existed. Okay, went to St. James's Centre, went as a group into the St. James's Centre. And you know the guy that you prayed for? You prayed for? And I was like, yeah, the guy we prayed for. And he goes, he walked into the St. James's Centre, and then he collapsed on the floor. And I'm like, oh, good. I'm not quite sure how to kind of interpret this. And he goes, yes! And then the security came, and then a first aider came, because they're all watching on the cameras. And then he lay on the floor for a couple of minutes. And there was nothing wrong with him. And I was like, oh, okay, good. And then he got up, and his knee was fine! I have no idea why he needed to fall on the ground. I don't get that. And God works in the ways he wants to work, but there we go. But do you think afterwards he was a little more open to things of God? Do you think maybe they were thinking, wow, that's God. He can work like that. He can do that sort of stuff. You see, we want to today just think about what it is to be naturally supernatural. That we can stretch out and be used by God to make a difference. You see, when we look at Jesus, he proclaimed the kingdom, but he was constantly demonstrating the kingdom. He didn't do one without the other. It was going together. Constantly demonstration, proclamation. And in the Gospels, when we think about what's going on in the Gospels, 20% in the Gospels is around healing of physical and mental and the raising of dead. That's a lot. In fact, it's the greatest part of his ministry that's focused on within the Gospels, 20%. And how were John's disciples to work out what if Jesus was the Messiah? It says this in Luke 7, verse 18. The disciples of John the Baptist told John about everything Jesus was doing. So John called for two of his disciples, and he sent them to the Lord to ask him, "Are you the Messiah we're expecting, or should we be looking for someone else?" At that very time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and he restored sight to many who were blind. Then he told John's disciples, "Go back to John, tell him what you've seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away from me." What was the mark of Jesus being the Messiah? What was the mark of him being shown? It was the miraculous. Yes, the good news was being preached, but it was the miraculous. As someone has said, if God left the church, would anyone know? Well, if we don't expect anything to happen of the supernatural, then actually we won't know. Because our worship isn't enough, our teaching isn't enough. There needs to be something of actually an encounter with God and his supernatural power. And when Jesus came to his disciples, what did he do? Did he say, go out and teach, go out and just spend your time chatting to people, persuade them of the kingdom? No, he says, take nothing. He says this, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples, gave them power and authority to what? Just preach. No, cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And when they came back, they said this. So they began their circuit, the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. The disciples were sent out on that basis. And so Jesus sent them out. And then when we come to Matthew, we read this. Because Jesus is saying his final words, and his final words are really important to get a hold of. When Jesus is saying, I'm leaving you with a commission, what did he say? He says this. Jesus came to his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus gave them authority. If we read the end of Mark's gospel, which some manuscripts say weren't contained within the older manuscripts, but still, it's likely it's only a description of what the disciples got about. It says that they went out healing the sick. They went out casting out demons, and the good news was preached. That's what they did after they were commissioned. You see, Jesus, what does he do? He gives all authority, and then he gives that authority to us. Therefore, we go out in whose authority? Your authority? My authority? No, in Jesus' authority. So can you heal the sick? If it's in Jesus' authority, can you heal the sick? Yes, you can. Because it's in his authority. Can you raise the dead? Big one. I've not heard of that. But I know someone I've read a book where that's happened. Where God has raised the dead. Can we see people set free? Now, you see, interestingly, when we were talking about this, and we're talking about things of the kingdom, and of the supernatural kingdom, some of you from certain parts of the world are going to be much more familiar with certain things. We were talking about this at youth. Demonic influence. Some of you have come from parts of the world where that is much more clearly seen. In the UK, it's much more hidden. It's there, it's just hidden. But there is demonic influence. Yeah? And people need to be set free from demonic influence. Okay, just as much here as in other parts of the world, but sometimes it's very clear, it's very out there, because you've got witch doctors, because you've got things going on where people are very clearly being affected by demons. So authority is given to us to go and do this. Well, then what do we see in the Acts? Well, in the Acts of the Apostles, we see how they stepped out into this. That we saw supernatural speaking gifts. They saw visions. They had dead were raised. There was assorted miracles. There was healings. There was angelic visitations. In fact, 20 times when there were supernatural acts, the church grew. And this is the weird thing. This is a weird thing. In our colleges and universities, do you know one of the passages that is used a lot to help church growth? It is Acts 17, where Paul spoke in Athens. And he gave a very rounded, wonderfully presented talk to the people in Athens, using all their philosophers. And it was a very persuasive talk. Do you know what the effect of that was? It says, a few people were saved. The next place he went was Corinth, and this is how he went. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan, for I decided that while I was with you, I'd forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. And a church was planted, some 150 plus, and then started to grow exponentially as God began to pour out his Spirit and his gifts and his miraculous workings. So church growth comes through people being open and seeking God and expecting God for God to move in the supernatural. We need to be people of the supernatural. So you don't need great words. You don't need persuasive things. You need to rather be relying on the Holy Spirit. Now, as I said, our worldview, some of you might be sitting there going, yeah, I know this is all very well, but you know, we're a bit beyond that. You know, we're intellectual, we're enlightened, we're scientific. Well, actually, some of us need to put that aside. Yes, it's part of us. There's learning that's good there. And there's wisdom, common wisdom. But actually, we need supernatural. We need a supernatural move of God. The church has tried to figure it out, and it's not doing a very good job of it. Whereas when we start enlisting God's help properly, God moving, then that's going to transform and change things. And we want to be a church that is truly Pentecostal. Well, at least I hope we're speaking for that. But we are. No, we want to be truly Pentecostal, seeking ourselves to be a church where we seek the supernatural work and move of God. And so that we might be people where we're seeing more and more of God moving in that way. And when we see people coming to know Jesus, we notice that so often God uses the supernatural. In that series that we've just done recently in Connect Groups, how many times was the supernatural involved? Loads of times. If you go through that, if you think about it, Paul and Silas in prison, Ethiopian eunuch, Zacchaeus, Lydia, all of them had examples of when God was moving supernaturally. So actually seeing people coming to faith needs supernatural work of God. I just want to look at one passage just to finish off, because this is the reluctant treasure hunter in Acts 9. We read this. Acts 9, 10 to 19. Ananias. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord spoke to him. I guess that's the start, isn't it? We all need to be ready. Are you ready for God to speak to you? Do you want God to speak to you? The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for the man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming and laying his hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. That's reasonable. And he's authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon his name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul, laid his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterwards, he ate some food and regained strength. Ananias was given a place to go, a person to see, and then he was able to pray and lead Saul to faith. God wants to use you supernaturally. He wants to use you in reaching out to others. Now, whether you come at 2:30 today or not is up to you, but God wants to use you wherever you are. And I really believe this. And I was thinking about this, and I was kind of in Horeb Food Company and having a coffee, and I was speaking to a lady next to me, and we started sharing about Jesus. Not that she was Christian, but we just did. And I explained that I worked at this church, and I had my bracelet on, which explains the gospel, so I was able to explain that to her. And then she said, look, this book you've got here, what's that all about? And I said, well, it's about a treasure hunt. It's about a treasure hunt, for ultimate treasure hunt for people's lives. And I said, oh, interesting. And I said, yeah, so it'd be like we're looking across at Marks and Spencer's, and like someone coming with a blue jacket that would have a limp. And so we just sort of looked out the window. And then this guy walks with a blue jacket who's got a limp, and walks directly in. She looks at me. I said, and I think God just did that for fun. And I was like, and she sort of looked at me and she's like, what? I said, I think he just did it for fun because he just wanted to show you that he can speak and he can guide us. So there you go. She's like, I said, you should come along and find out about church and find out what God wants to say to you. So we just simply want to just be people that are seeking God for the supernatural, seeking God to be naturally supernatural and stretching out. Now, does it go wrong sometimes? Yes. Do I get it wrong quite often? Yes. But you go with the nudges. And here's the thing. In the Christian life, we're about training, not trying. Can I just explain the difference? Trying is going to the gym one time, trying to lift 150 kilograms, first shot, I am so strong. No, you're not. And then going, I'm never, ever trying that again. Training is going and saying, if I want to lift 150 kilograms, I'm going to have to start with 50. And I'll lift that. And then I'll do that twice a week. And then I'll come back the next week and I'll lift 70. And then I'll do so on. You see, muscles grow when you use them. We know that in life. We know that in training. Well, it's the same with our spiritual ears. It's the same with our following where God wants us to be. Training, not just trying, so that we become stronger, we become more tuned in, and that we can hear where God wants us to be. And so that's what I want to say to us. I want to encourage us. Be about outreach. Don't let fear hold you. Be about stretching out and seeing how God can use you supernaturally. So I want us to just, I think we'll stand up if we can. If you feel able. If you're not able, just stay seated. And let's just see what God wants to do just for the last few minutes. Let's just invite Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come now. And if you're not familiar with this, if you've come from a different church, don't worry, we're not going to do anything. But we're actually just asking God to move by His Spirit. We believe that God by His Spirit is here. And He has particular things that He wants to do amongst us. What we usually say is just try and be in a posture of receiving rather than in a kind of like, I'm trying to keep this away, I'm scared or whatever. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's God, and He's good. So He's good things for us. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit. Some of you might just sense something, just as you're taking time just to be in God's presence. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, we talk about like a butterfly just coming around, just alighting on us, very gentle. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. There's a couple of things that I just written down that God gave to me before the service, which I'm now going to say. But it'll become clear that maybe some of these you wouldn't want to come forward right now, and that's okay. But maybe you want to seek out towards the end of the service or just to, in the moving around. So the first thing is someone with shoulder pain and neck pain. God wants to heal you of that. If that's you, then that's not embarrassing. So if that's you, if you want to put your hand up, then we'll just get a few folks around you just to pray for you. So it's just neck and shoulder, okay? Yeah, okay, okay. It's a few folks around, or Karen, do you want to just go? Can you raise your hand up again? And Karen, can you just go and pray? Okay. And just keep in a place just to receive. The second thing I just got was... And this is particularly, and this becomes clear why I was just saying some things that are maybe people don't want to come forward for or put a hand up for. I believe there's at least one person here who has a real dark cloud over them because of mental health issues. And I really believe God wants to raise you above that and see that the sun is shining and to give you a new perspective. And I believe that He wants to break something, but also just to comfort you in that place. Now, that's a really hard word for some of you, but I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, I just pray, now come. And if that's you, you might want to just put your hand up, I don't know, or just put your hands in front of you. Maybe it's just too difficult to put your hands up. That's okay. But God just wants to do that. And then the third thing I got is just that someone here has had something that they've experienced as a child and that just keeps coming back. And it's a fear. And it really holds you. And Jesus wants to set you free from that today. So just put your hands out in front of you and just ask Him to come and set you free. And if you're brave enough, then you can afterwards maybe ask someone to pray for you. But I don't want to embarrass you. Okay. Okay, so the neck has been healed, so that's good. Praise God. Okay. Okay.
doing some stuff. Okay.
Now, I mentioned fear. And there is fear from that childhood trauma that God wants to release you from. But there's also that fear of the unknown and the outreach. And God wants to lift that off. And I think we'll do that by just saying, come forward. If you want to no longer have fear, and so you actually can be that lion, we've sung twice about a lion, being bold like a lion. And then we had that verse from Proverbs 28, being bold like a lion, the godly being bold like a lion. If you want to be prayed for to be bold like a lion, so that you stand up, you speak out, then come to the front and we'll pray for you just in these last few minutes. For my daughter's sake, who's doing the children's work, if you do have children, if you want to go and get your children and bring them in, but if you want to have prayer first, come. You need to come right now. Okay. We're not going to hang around with prayer on this. If you want prayer for not have fear or just a fresh anointing in, and I'm add that, fresh anointing in outreach, then come to the front and we'll pray for you just in these last few minutes. Okay.